Either way, Slim Jims would be okay on the keto diet.
Yeah, there's no sugar in Slim Jims, right?
Yeah. Living on jerky.
That would be amazing.
It was exhausting even listening to you describe it.
I'm sorry that you don't like my voice.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was I mean, all those different rules, I need something simpler. How about just eat less, work out more?
Hey, by the way, do we know if Garoppolo's going to play on Sunday?
They cleared him to practice today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. They cleared him to practice. Also, Cam Akers, Sean McVay says, is going to play in the game. He will make his season debut. And, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo has been cleared with that finger injury to play on Sunday. So we will see Garoppolo.
I was kind of hoping he wasn't going to play.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, he's not great, but he's better. Jimmy Garoppolo is fine. Like, if I was the 49ers, I'd be looking to I'd be hoping that ultimately Trey Lance is going to take over that job.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember what our predictions were for the Rams at the start of the season. I think you had them at 12-5.
I did.
And I had them at 11-6, and they might exceed both of our expectations.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive if they can pull it off, but they rarely beat the Niners. So this is a real game for them.
Yeah, they're going to snap out of this. Matthew Stafford's going to snap out of this week.
I hope so. That's the my only saying grace. You know, I'm still waiting to get cleared to come out of COVID protocol.
Still not,
and,
huh?
Yeah, no. It's I haven't had any negative tests yet. So the and then you got to stay in if you don't. According to the NBA has a little stricter restrictions than the CDC does. So you have to stay in quarantine for 10 days. So 10 days for me would be Saturday. But
you still haven't gotten two negative tests in a row.
Nah. But I get tested every day, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But the one thing is that the Ram game Sunday is 125, right?
Correct, yeah. It's
and the Lakers, so I'm hoping week. To get cleared for that game because the Laker game is at 6:30, and it's Ja Morant. So ooh. I'm really hoping I get cleared for that game because I want to see Ja, and I want to see if the Lakers can figure out a way to slow him down.
It's going to be a magical day, John. I can feel it now. No turnovers for Matthew Stafford and no turnovers for Russell Westbrook.
I wonder if you could do a prop bet like that.
Oh, that's a crazy.
You would be able to get unbelievable odds on
yeah,
no turnovers.
Yeah, because Russell Westbrook has
guy.
Done that exactly once
in
5 years.
Yeah, four so. Years, right?
The,
yeah,
the Fez is coming on today. You can ask him.
That's yeah. I bet you the Fez will say bet. Some offshore book would probably give it to you.
Probably.
All right. So who's the guy that made a fool of himself at the basketball game?
Okay, so I'm looking at this, and by the way, it doesn't matter political party or anything. This is like a Tennessee state representative.
Okay.
He was thrown out of a high school basketball game after threatening to fight a referee and attempting to pull the referee's pants off. His name is Jeremy Faison. He's a caucus chair in the Tennessee legislature. And here, and I'm looking at the video, just like totally out of control guy. And, you know, a couple of things hit me. The first thing I thought is, hasn't behavior gotten way worse during the pandemic? Like, don't people act more like jerks than they ever have before?
Maybe. I think people are wound a little tight. But this issue with officials has been going on forever. One of my jobs when I was in high school and college was I would work part-time as a ref. I would ref right. football and basketball games just to make extra money. And at least once a year, some parent would go crazy on me. Like, nobody ever threatened to pants me. By the way, I can't even believe that's still a thing.
Yeah, he tried to pants the official.
But there would be pantsing. People that wanted to fight me, and I would, you know, I wouldn't react violently or engage with them, but they were just so mad. I mean, unless you think the official is for some reason on the take, like he's corrupt.
Well, you still don't even pants him. You just
no, but there is there's
the
no reason to
office.
Light up. There's no reason to light up a ref just because. Refs make mistakes like everybody else. If you had the best referees in the world at your Tennessee high school basketball, was it a high school game?
Yeah, high school game.
Then maybe the guy makes no mistakes. But, I mean, if you have Zach Zarba reffing your high school game in Tennessee, then, yeah, maybe. But if this is some hack who's a high school official in Tennessee, of course he's going to screw things up.
And he's apologized and obvious and, you know, and he wrote a heartfelt apology and I think it's okay. He says, I acted a fool tonight, lost my temper. I was wanting him to fight me, totally lost my junk, got booted from the gym. I've never really lost my temper, but I did tonight, and it was completely stupid of me. Emotions getting in the way of rational thoughts are never good. I hope to be able to find the ref and ask for his forgiveness. I was bad, wrong. Of course you accept the apology. This guy's life isn't over because of this. It's ridiculous behavior.
Right.
And I might not let him go back to a game. He might be banned from my league to go back to games because he...
Yeah, I think that guy needs a timeout. What's his
name? He needs to be in timeout. Jeremy Faison.
Yeah, Jeremy needs a timeout.
I've never lost my temper like that. Have you ever lost your temper like that?
You have. You've told stories of you doing it. You've apologized for it after. I remember one time you were yelling at somebody over a parking thing or something. I remember it was a few years ago. Or maybe you were in a Starbucks and you just lit some old man up and you felt terrible about it.
Oh,
and
the guy at the car wash. Yeah, I felt terrible. I apologized to him right away.
Right, right. But that you admitted that you lost it with him. And that wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't that. Well, yeah, there was a while back. No, it's possible. No,
but we have to allow people to apologize.
Of course. I just think since the pandemic, people are gotten worse. I mean, there are people like duct taped to their seats and airplanes. And, like, I didn't used to see any. Like, had you ever seen anybody duct taped to an airplane seat?
But I also, again, I'll defend airline personnel forever because I'm friends with all the flight attendants that fly us on Delta on these Laker trips. And I've got
anybody ever duct taped on the Lakers plane?
No, but I've heard stories from all of them about passengers just losing it. And if the passenger will not let it go and they're threatening to harm other passengers and they won't get, you know, there's little else they can do other than to restrain them. Like, what else? Think about it. If you get some guy that's saying, I will not sit down and I will not shut up and you will get me a kosher meal or I'm going to go crazy. And they just lose it and they get the pilot to come out and talk to him and the person will not let it go. What options do you have at that point?
It's true. Get out the duct tape.
I mean, it is inhumane, I guess.
I think people are meaner at restaurants. I've seen people be mean at restaurants.
No, I don't think you're wrong here. I think since the pandemic, people are wound tighter.
Yeah, they get stir, and everybody got stir crazy, and they're like ready. Everybody's like ready to snap.
Yeah, very true. But I do think that unless somebody commits some type of a felony or hurts another person, you got to let people – let this guy apologize, put him in timeout, and let him come back next
year. Don't let him come back to games for a while.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
Yeah. So, you know, you have contended for a while now that people – that reporters will never be allowed in locker rooms again.
I think that's where it's heading. I know you feel strongly that it shouldn't head that way. My counter to you would be it's not up to the reporters. It's not up to you. I think the teams are going to phase the reporters out eventually.
Okay, so Chris Long has made your point, and I now completely agree on this.
You agree with me?
Based on new information, I can totally change my mind.
Right, what did Chris Long say that made you change your mind?
Okay, he says, why the
By the way, Chris Long is Howie Long's son, had a long career in the NFL, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, and is very well regarded around the league. He's very very thoughtful, very charitable, very well respected. He used to be a defensive lineman, right?
Yes, okay. Yes.
And his brother was an offensive lineman, if I remember.
He was on the Two Writers Slinging Yang podcast.
That's Jeff Perlman. That's the guy who wrote the Lakers Perlman. Showtime book. Yeah.
So he says, why the F can y'all walk in and we are half naked? In no other workplace in America are you expected to be putting your clothes on and somebody's going to walk in and talk to you and there's going to be cameras. Brandon Graham's locker is next to mine and he has 40 reporters around him and someone is bumping into my naked ass. I'm at work. I feel like because we get paid so much money and we're such macho dudes that everybody is like, F them. If you think about it, what other workplace in America would this be okay in?
Other than a sports workplace.
Other than...
Because it happens with baseball, basketball, football. Now, to even further make Chris's point, over the years when I was working at KCBS KCAL, I worked there for 20-plus years, I would cover Sparks games.
Yes.
And at no point at any point were any reporters allowed in the locker room when the girls were naked?
Sure.
Not
sure.
Men, not women, nobody. So, using Chris's point, why should the men be subjected to having to walk around nude in the locker room, but not the women? Where's the equity there? The reason I've always argued that, and if we got like one of a friends of the show on, if we got Bill Arm or Mike Bresnahan or Brad Turner or any of the guys we like,
yeah,
they would argue, look, guys, we're on deadline. We're in a business where we have to get this information out quickly or our bosses read us the riot act. But even that, Mace, in an internet-based world, is not necessarily true anymore. There's no, these guys don't have to get their story in to make the morning edition.
Right.
Most of these things are going online, and that's how they're being consumed. So if you made all of the players available, let's say after half an hour out in the hallway, I think it would work. They would counter with, no, the players would stall us out. They would go out the back door. They would try and avoid us. They wouldn't make themselves available. So it would be a new kind of dance. But I've always felt that the locker room to these players and to these coaches is kind of their sanctuary and their space.
Right.
And I've been in locker rooms for 25 years. It's an important part of you know, how I've been able to make a living. I don't see why I can't do it out in the hallway. I've always felt that way.
Yeah, I mean, the Chris Long sort of makes the point. And what other workplace is that acceptable?
It's not. And the problem is, like, I remember one time when you and I were having a similar discussion on the air, and one of the equipment managers texted me and said, yep, hey, man, when we're on the road, we got to get out of there. If you guys hold us up for another half an hour, we're not making our flight. And I guess I could see that, but I mean, again, you could have rules to make people available. Like, well, for the WNBA, what they do is I'll say, I want to talk to Shanae Agumake and Candace Parker, and I've got a live shot in 25 minutes. And you say to the Sparks PR person, can you get me one of them? And they'll go in and get them, and they'll get them before they take a shower, and they'll bring them out in the hallway. And you could do that with the NBA if I think players would actually be willing to take the trade-off. They would say, hey, before I take a shower, let me go do media, and then I'll, you know, go in and do whatever I want.
I think the problem is reporters want one-on-ones.
Right. They're not going to
get a one-on-one with somebody.
And they never get them. Even Ramona would tell you that sometimes the only way she can get a player one-on-one is to wait until they do the scrum and then walk out to their car with them.
Well, she can kind of do it because she'll just text them afterward.
That's a good point. Yeah.
She can get her one-on-ones that way because she's got special access. But, yeah, here's the thing. If I'm Bill Arum and Mike Bresnahan, if I'm all the reporters, right, I'm trying to think of the other guys.
Brad Turner is a guy who comes on our pregame show a lot.
Okay. So I'm doing a press conference, and Austin Reeves is talking. So – I'm asking questions for my story. Now, everybody knows the angle that my story is going to be. And so somebody else can write the same angle story because they're hearing this conversation with Austin Reeves, and we're all in on it.
Right. Well, if you talk to any, like, the old time, like, you talk to Bill Plachke,
yeah,
who's been doing this for 30 years, you know, Bill will say that the trick is finding time where you can get these guys outside of the scrum.
Yes.
But it's almost non-existent now. They don't make them available outside of the scrum. And a lot of players, Mace, with Twitter and Instagram, go directly to their fans
without
the media. You know, they'll bypass it and just, you know, or like LeBron will talk to his specific website or his specific outlet.
And by the way, now how much of the media is like guys writing about Instagram posts and tweets?
Sure.
Like, it sort of turned in on itself. It's like now somebody can write a whole story based on a LeBron James Instagram post.
Yep.
The changes are interesting. But I do understand what Chris Long is saying. There's no other place in the world where you're expected to be naked while you're doing interviews with co-workers or in this case, reporters.
Yeah, and that is an incredibly awkward aspect of it because some of the reporters are the opposite sex of the athletes. You know, so it's a weird dynamic.
All right, coming up next for you, Sam Amick had some interesting stuff to say about the Lakers. I want to get to that. Also, Carly Lloyd is getting criticized for something, and I wonder if I'm not guilty of the same thing. We'll do that coming up also for you. Don't forget Lie of the Day at 3:30. If you know the lie that I have told at some point during the day, you will win a pair of tickets to Lakers Hawks tomorrow night at Crypto.com Arena. So again, pay attention for the lie, and I will just tell you right now, if you're just tuning in, haven't told it yet.
Really?
Have not told the lie yet. Oh. So it's sometime between the next hour and 15 minutes that I will tell the lie. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
Hey, Mace.
Yo.
I owe you an apology.
Thank you.
We talked earlier in the show, and I asked you what happened the last time you were at the Laker practice facility. You shot 20 free throws, and you only made two.
Correct.
You actually made three.
Thank you.
Carlo just tweeted out the video of you shooting.
Oh,
you
for made, God's, what is this? Just tweet out embarrassing video
of Mason?
You made
three of 20, not two of 20. So you're not good. But you're not as bad as I said you were.
If I worked at it, I'd be good.
What are the chances of you working at it?
Well, if there was mythical money involved, I would work at it.
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
You know, there's another video out there that David Singer posted. David Singer posted it today. It was of you jumping over a 2 foot high or
well, that was actually
not a 2 foot high bar.
it was a
no,
1 foot.
No, that was
high
actually
bar.
When Mason shattered his foot.
Right.
That was a 5 foot high bar.
Mason almost died.
I almost died on that one.
You were in the hospital. You speaking of quarantine, you were out for like 10 days when that happened.
And that thing, that was one of the. I would say that's in the pantheon of stupid stuff I've ever done.
So what was happening was we used to do the show on TV. So we were a radio TV. We used to call it the Triple Cast. We were on two different radio stations and on Fox Sports West 2, which is now Prime Ticket. So we would do the show from a studio in Santa Monica, and one day we used to goof around with we had a toy chest with like Nerf footballs and wiffle balls, and so one day Singer, who produced the show, would bring in things that were visually fun to watch going on behind us. So one day he brought in some guys who did tricks on bicycles.
Yep.
So they were jumping over bars and jumping around. And there was one bar that
bouncing
was...
bouncing on their back tire.
Yeah.
It was actually really cool what they were
yeah,
doing.
And there was one bar that was like 5 or 6 feet tall. And I thought to myself, well, how in the world are they going to bounce a bike over that bar? And Mason gets his ideas on. I think you had like Doc Martens on.
Yep.
And you said, oh, I could jump over that bar without a bike. I could high jump that bar. I said, high jump? You can't high jump. What are you talking about? He goes, look, I'll show you. So we're in a commercial break. The cameras are rolling. And Mason tries two or three times, and he can't clear the bar. And he goes...
Really hard.
He goes, John, it's the Doc Martens. They're too heavy. Watch this. And I'm rolling my eyes, and I'm like, I think I'm eating, and I'm not paying a lot of attention to him. And he takes off his shoes, and he's convinced that this is the difference maker, that the lighter Mace will be able to clear the bar with
the
ease.
The one with no shoes.
Correct. He jumps, and I think I said, oh, almost, but you knocked the bar over, and you land, and right away you said, I think I just broke my foot.
I landed on my heel.
Right. And I said, you didn't break your foot, and just coincidentally, Ray Allen, the basketball player,
yes,
was in the green room and coming on the show. And Ray comes out, and Ray and I both look at your foot, and we go, yeah, just elevate it, put some ice on it. You just twisted it. It's fine. Not only was it not fine, you had shattered it in, what, 8 places?
It broke into 9 different pieces. My heel bone broke into 9 pieces. It just like, exploded when I landed on the heel.
So the paramedics came in, and this all played out on air.
Oh, it was all on the air.
The paramedics came in. They put him on a gurney. They take him to the hospital. And then, so they said, oh, we've got to reset your foot. And when they were giving you the drugs you needed to do the surgery on your foot, you developed a blood clot, right?
Correct. Pulmonary embolism is what they called it.
And you went into some type of, like, dangerous cardiac condition.
Yeah.
And all I know is I got a call. It's it. Mason had took a turn for the worse. It's not good. I couldn't even talk to you for about 3. Your mom came in.
Yeah, my mom flew in. Exactly.
From out of town. It did for a day or two. It looked like it could really turn into something horrible.
But I survived.
And now you have what? How many screws in a plate?
9 screws in a plate.
So when you go through a metal detector in an airport, do you set it off?
It is titanium, and titanium doesn't set off airplane stuff.
Got it.
So I'm okay because it's titanium. Old school, like if it was, 40 years, if it was the 70s, then you'd put metal and that would set it off every single time. But titanium doesn't set it off. But that was a brutal. I mean, that's in the pantheon of really stupid stuff I've ever done in my life in any way whatsoever.
And if you want to watch it, you can. I just tweeted it, so you can go check it out.
So, Mace, the amazing thing about that is you really have lived with that ever since. Like, didn't you tell me once? You and I were somewhere and it was cold.
Yeah,
and you said, Ireland, it's going to get a lot colder tonight. And I said, well, how do you know that? And you said, my foot always acts up when it's heading towards really cold, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. That thing reminds me every day that I did something stupid. I mean, that's like a permanent everyday thing is that my foot hurts.
Right.
It's totally shattered in that. So,
Jorge says he has the actual audio of when you broke your foot. Hit it, Jorge. This is Fred Rogan doing it on the news.
Steve Mason. Steve is co-host of The Big Show that airs live on Fox Sports West 2 every morning. This morning, Steve decided to jump over a high bar that was on the set for some bicycle stunt riders. He leaped, didn't quite make the 3-foot-6-inch jump and fell to the ground. Okay, got back up. Ouch! He realized he hurt his heel. In fact, he did more than that. He shattered it. Now, Mason stayed on the set and continued the show. A viewer watching called paramedics and told them to get to the set. After the show, Steve was taken to the hospital where he will have surgery on Sunday. I spoke with Steve on the phone tonight. He told me, quote, he hopes something good comes out of him being a moron. And added for anybody watching, please don't try that at home.
There you go.
So, by the way, that may be the only time in radio history that Fred Rogan was on two stations simultaneously in
That's
Los
true.
Angeles. Yeah,
That's
that was what it was like on KNBC that night. Rogan put it on TV.
You know, then I saw Ray Allen at the Olympics in maybe 2000 in Sydney. Does that sound right? Would he have been on that Olympic team?
Yeah. Sounds about right.
I was doing an interview. I was working for NBC and Westwood One, and Ray walked in and we started talking. He said, looked at me, he said, you're that guy. You're that guy. He remembered that. That was sadly, sadly memorable. By the way, so now there are multiple posts of me going around out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really what it's come to? Let's send every embarrassing moment that Mason has ever had out on Twitter today.
Well, it's just
everybody
your day.
Likes it and retweets it.
It's just your day. Remember, like, when it was my day, it was the video of me putting makeup on and the video of Shaq cursing at me. And now today, it's your day. It's your day of doing the Mace plant. It's your day of breaking your foot.
My day of missing free throws.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just your day. Thank so, you Bergman, sure. Bergman, do something stupid so it can be your day.
When do you get your
super,
day, Bergman?
Super easy to happen. That will absolutely happen sooner enough. And I'm sure that Carlo has the swim video of you two as well.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, find that. That was an absolute domination.
No.
The swim with Mike 50-yard Mason Ireland freestyle showdown. Yeah, that was awesome. Now, what's the Carly Lloyd story?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, let's get to that. So, Carly Lloyd, who's a big-time soccer.
Might be the best female soccer player in the world. She's at the end of her career, but she's really good.
Yeah, and she's great. And so she, over the holidays, got a package delivery from FedEx. And the package was sort of away from her house, and it rained, and the packages got all soaked up. Got all wet.
Right, and she has an awning that if they would have left the packages right at the door, they wouldn't have got wet, but they left the packages outside of the awning maybe 5-6 feet away.
So she tweeted out a picture of this, and this was after the packages got ruined. She said, ringing in the new year with soaked, ruined packages. Guess the extra 5 steps from our at FedEx driver to place under the covered section of the porch was a hard task to endure. Hashtag no one cares about their job anymore.
Kind of the point you were making last segment, that everybody's wound a little tight.
Everybody's wound a little tight, exactly. Carly, obviously, is one of them. Now, she's being criticized because, you know, FedEx drivers, those are some of the people that got us through the pandemic. FedEx
and the other thing is, you always notice if you have a FedEx driver that they're always in a hurry.
Yes.
Like, because they're trying to get their day done or else they could be out there until, you know, God knows when.
And she started getting tweets like this. This is a terrible take. Most delivery people are not paid an hourly wage, but per package they deliver, and that is normally a nominal amount. Therefore, they have to get around between 150 and 200 packages minimum. If they want something half decent, blame the company, not the employees. So I have had, and I don't like, this is not a good story about me, but I'll tell. Oh, it's a day for not good stories about me.
Yeah, it's your day.
So I had gone to Toledo for some sort of recognition or some sort of award or something. And a snowstorm hit. And I found myself at the Detroit airport, which is an absolute hole. At the Detroit airport.
You were at Metro downtown?
At Metro, okay. Yeah. And all the flights had been cut back, to some degree canceled, rescheduled, all that stuff. And I found myself, because we'd already taken the rental car back, I found myself laying on the floor at the Detroit Metro airport. And so what did I do? I tweeted, and this was what Carly Lloyd did, right? She said, at FedEx. She used the FedEx handle. She didn't just say FedEx. She used the at FedEx handle. So I thought, I'm going to tweet something about
United
Airways.
Yeah, I have a decent amount of followers. Let's see if this works.
So I tweeted something about United Airlines and being stuck on the floor at the Detroit airport and blah, 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 and furious with it, whatever the hell I said. And I got a tweet back from at United Airlines or whatever it is, and they said, follow us so we can correspond with you. So I immediately followed at United Airlines. And United, I guess because I had a decent number of followers, they wound up getting me on a flight within 2 hours, and I sat in first class.
Okay.
Am I not essentially doing what Carly Lloyd did?
It is, you're a little bit guilty of the don't you know who I am
Correct.
Card.
That is absolutely
but
right.
Having said that, in cases like this, the squeaky wheel often gets the grease.
Yeah.
So why not try it? I'm very uncomfortable playing the don't you know who I am card.
Yes.
But I'm sure I've done it in some way, shape, or form like you just described. Like, I remember when Jack was younger.
Yeah.
Because I talked openly about Jack being a special needs kid, and he was maybe 5 or 6. We went to Disneyland, and somebody came up to me. The lines that weekend were just insane. And somebody came up to me and said, hey, John, I work here, and I know you're with Jack. I can pull you out of this line and all the lines today. And
I
said, that's very nice of you, but I'm going to pass. I just think it's a bad look. And I've always thought back on that, and I wondered, should I have taken that guy's kindness? Should I have taken him up on the offer?
Sure.
Probably should have.
Yeah.
But I didn't because I was worried about the don't you know who I am card. Let's put it this way. You don't do what you did. You spend the night on the floor in the Detroit airport.
Still on the airport floor at Detroit Metro. So, and plus Ireland, that was my first, because, you know, I'm not a spendy guy.
Right.
I don't spend. That was my first time in a first class seat on an airplane.
Yeah,
which I'd always dreamed about. Like,
and
I
then after that, you switched to business class or better for the rest of your life.
I always
right?
wonder, like, when I was a kid and when I was flying when I was younger, I always wonder, what's it like on the other side of that curtain? Like, what is happening? They pull that curtain closed, and you're like, what do they have? Like, a dance and an open bar?
Oh yeah,
and a
it's.
DJ.
Let me tell you, Michael and I will tell you, it's not it's, like they say in Jerry Maguire. It's not just a better meal; it's a better life.
Yeah. Yeah, I always want. So that was the first
yeah,
time
people
I ever
are
got to fly first
hey,
class.
People are hooking up there. The booze is flowing.
The booze
it's,
is yeah, flowing.
You don't know what you're missing up there,
there's
man.
There's like a stand-up hey, comic there working yeah, the room.
Come up with us, and you'll never go back.
God, that other side of the curtain. Most people never do. I still don't really spend. Like, I flew to Costa Rica, flew economy. I can get through 5 hours in economy. It would take a really long flight for me to spring for first class. I'm just not.
You're like me. I could sit anywhere on a plane. I really
yeah,
can.
Because really
most of the time I fall asleep anyway. I'm, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, look, they found the swim race.
Oh, for the love of God. Are we out of embarrassing videos of me yet?
No, we're getting there. We still got
sure
another,
we can find more.
We still got another hour and a half of the show.
God, why did I even come to work today?
That's fun. What the
well,
hell?
I guess come to work. I mean, just roll yeah. out of bed and start talking. Say,
turn
mean,
on the machine.
You, yeah, why did you push the button?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, I actually looked really good in that. So, oh, they sped it up, and then I start to fall behind. Because you went and got lessons.
Thank you again to Rachel Pinto. I just saw Rachel recently over the holidays, my swim coach.
It was actually somewhat closer than you thought it was.
No, oh, please.
No, I it passed. Actually was a little. I was closer than you thought.
Yeah, I let up after I hit the wall and turned before you ever made it to the wall, just so you wouldn't be completely shamed. Hmm. I think at one point I started swimming backwards.
I don't think we have enough embarrassing video of you.
Oh, they're out there. We don't have any embarrassing video of Bergman and Jorge.
We don't but, do anything yeah, embarrassing.
I'm the guy behind the camera,
you know?
Man, not in front of me.
keep it up. We know where your families are. Keep
oh,
it up.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hey, we got jump ball coming up. Don't forget lie of the day. At some point, I have or will tell a lie. And if you know what it is, at 3:30, you got a chance. It's Lakers Ticket Thursday. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Lakers Hawks tomorrow night at Crypto.com Arena. Big night. Big night. Trey Young coming to town. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so it is an embarrassed Mason Thursday plus a Lakers ticket Thursday. Good God. Days like today. All right, so, John, this is interesting. Sam Amick, who's a very good NBA reporter, this was one of his tweets yesterday. Inside the Lakers, there is recognition that this hasn't gone as planned.
What hasn't gone as planned?
The Russell Westbrook trade. That this has not gone as planned. And that there has been a conversation, according to Sam, within the Lakers organization, about whether or not they could try to move Russell Westbrook. And Sam says, quote, a deal appears extremely unlikely before the February 10th trade deadline, if only because his deal that was once seen by so many as untradeable is such a massive obstacle. But inside the Lakers, it seems there is some recognition that this hasn't gone as James and Davis had planned.
Well, I think that they expected to be better than a game above 500 at this point. But I don't. And I've said this before, I don't have conversations with Rob Pelinka, and I don't know what he's thinking, but
right.
I don't think that the Westbrook plan has a plan B. I think they're married to it. I think they're going forward, and they're going to try and make it work. And as long as LeBron's playing like he's played the last 7-8 games, they got a shot. And if Russ doesn't turn it over, they got a shot. But if Sam is suggesting, and I like Sam a lot, but if he's suggesting that they're going to trade him, that's not an easy thing to do.
No, he's suggesting that it's impossible to trade him, which is what you're saying. This is it. This is it for the next couple of years. And I questioned the Westbrook trade when it came down. I think you declared, you put lawn chairs on Figueroa to get ready for the parade.
Still have them there. I got a great spot. Yeah. Right on Chick Hearn and Figueroa.
Excellent.
You're going to want one of those seats. I'm saving one for you, even though you have no faith.
I didn't love the trade from the start. I actually think the better trade out there, this stuff you can't talk about, but I can. We saw him the other night. I thought the better trade was the deal for Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield has only a $22 million salary instead of a $44 million salary. You could have brought Alex Caruso back. You could have had room to bring additional higher quality role players in. I just think that Buddy Hield trade was the direction they should have gone instead of the Westbrook deal. But as you said, and I do believe this, for the next couple of years, this is what we got because ain't nobody taking Westbrook.
And I think Westbrook has a chance to figure this out. And so, and the other night was a key breakthrough. No turnover.
It's just, here's the thing, John. This is certainly not what I expect. I mean, I thought the idea was bring in Russell Westbrook so that when LeBron is not on the floor, somebody can run the offense and generate scoring, right? Instead, when LeBron is on the floor, they are productive, and when he is not, they are not. I mean, LeBron, for a guy of his age, is playing like the third. I saw a stat on NBA Today for a guy of 35 plus is averaging the third most minutes per game of anybody of that age. I don't think that was the idea when they traded for Westbrook. I thought the idea was to dial back some of what LeBron had to do.
Well, his minutes over this last 8-9 game stretch have actually been pretty good. You're right, the overall minutes are high, but if you look at his dominating stretch these last 8-9 games, he's playing closer to 30 minutes. But on the season, you're right, he's way up there. I think that it's hard to judge what the Lakers are until they get AD back. I haven't given up on Russ. I don't know if Sam did in that article, if he's declared that it's a failure, but I don't think the Lakers think that way. I think the Lakers think, well, we've got time. We're halfway through the season. We're going to get Anthony Davis back. Let's get into the tournament, and hopefully we'll have it figured out by then. I'll guarantee you one thing they didn't think they were going to do was go small like they've been going lately, and it's actually working. This small ball lineup has been a big kind of discovery for them. Now, how's it going to be against a good team?
By the way, you're suggesting that LeBron hasn't played a lot of minutes in this last run. He played 40 at Brooklyn, 40 against Brooklyn,
okay.
39 minutes, 27 seconds at Houston, 37 minutes, 57 seconds at Memphis. Then he had the under 30 game. That's the game where he did all the damage early. Portland, he played 29 minutes. Minnesota, he played 39 minutes. Sacramento, he played 37 minutes.
Okay, so he's back around 35.
Minutes aren't dialed back. He's right around 40.
LeBron's a tank. I'm not necessarily worried about that as much as I want to see where the Westbrook turnover thing goes from here. And I want to see what they look like when they get AD back. Because even you admit, without Anthony Davis, they're not winning the title anyway.
Correct.
So until we get him back, we really can't gauge what we've got. You know, based on they weren't – I didn't even know this small ball thing was an option. And I don't know if Frank Vogel did either.
I certainly didn't see it coming.
Well, now they can use it. When Anthony Davis is out of the game, they can play LeBron at center.
Yeah, I just wonder about the wear and tear of playing LeBron at center for long stretches of the season.
He seems to like it, but
LeBron, there's no questioning, he's able to do things that normal human beings are not, but the wear and tear of a NBA regular season when you're playing the five for a long stretch, I think is incredibly demanding, and I think we're in a rarefied situation. We've just never seen this before. We don't know how it turns out because we've never seen a guy grind like LeBron is grinding this year. And he's doing it when he's 37 years old and has the third most career minutes in NBA history, right? Isn't he third all time now?
I thought it would be higher than that. Are you counting the playoff minutes?
No, I was counting regular season minutes.
Yeah, I think I would think he's top two, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's piled up the minutes, And I wouldn't put anything past LeBron, but they will go as LeBron goes. It's not Westbrook. They will go as LeBron goes. If they win games, it will be because LeBron has won those games.
Well, and by the way, let's see how it goes when the schedule gets tougher starting on Sunday against Memphis. Like Sunday against Memphis, Steven Adams is coming in.
Yeah.
So you got to play Dwight Howard in that game, I think.
Correct.
I don't know if you can put no, because Steven Adams is a rebounding machine. So let's see what they do in, or like what happens when they play at Philly, like we got coming up, or when they play Phoenix with DeAndre Ayton or Utah with Rudy Gobert. By the way, Gobert just got COVID again. Remember,
he's the guy that started the whole thing.
Yeah, they just announced it. He went into health and safety protocol.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that, the so-called Grammy trip, you're at Orlando, at Miami, at Brooklyn, at Philly, at Charlotte, at Atlanta.
Right. So
it's a tough stretch.
Yeah, Clint Capella, who you'll see tomorrow night in Atlanta, Joel Embiid in Philly. Games like that, you may need to play a big.
Sacramento, you're okay. Denver, Jokic. Utah Gobert if he's back. I think it's going to be the tough part of the schedule is coming. That's going to be fascinating to see if they can rise up and do some damage when the games get tough, because the easy part of their schedule is behind them now. All right, coming up next for you, Jump Ball. Bergman's going to throw some stuff at us. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Better, you like that better?
Yeah,
that was better than the old one. Yeah, a little long.
It was a little long, but it was still good. I see. I mean, he made his point, right? So, okay.
He did.
We'll move on. He did. All right. So the Manning cast is a huge success, and our mega cast was a huge success also.
Huge success, yeah.
It was huge. This is not going away. The mega casts are going to be here for a while. Now A-Rod is apparently in talks to do 10 to 12 A-Rod casts during the MLB season.
Wow.
As long as there is one, of course. People are split on A-Rod the broadcaster. Some people love him. Some people not so much. Are you interested in the A-Rod cast?
I don't think so. I don't know if A-Rod has had that platform on Sunday Night Baseball, Mace, for a few years now. Part of the attraction of the Manning cast was, A, it was Eli and Peyton who had never done it before, and B, they don't really announce the game. They just tell stories and interview guests. I'm not sure. Is A-Rod a good interviewer? I don't know.
Well, I personally think this is great. I think A-Rod is baseball lends itself to this, I think, more than football does, because baseball moves at a slower pace. I think there's more time for conversation. I'd be interested in hearing A-Rod with whoever Hall of Famer, whatever broadcaster. I think it lends us. I actually like the idea of I don't know if we call it the A-Rod cast, but the A-Rod cast. I think it would absolutely work. I would watch the A-Rod cast.
We'll see if it happens.
Bergman, what about you?
No, I would not watch the A-Rod cast because I don't find him funny, and I don't think the things that he does say are all that intelligent.
By the way, you know who would be in my opinion, a better choice than A-Rod? Torrey Hunter.
That'd be a good
one. He'd be great.
Yeah, I think he'd be really good.
Sure, but A-Rod says things like, it's better to have a two-run lead than a one-run lead because the solo home run won't hurt you or something. I don't know. It's this weird, weird thing that he talks about. So I don't know. I'm out.
What
on
I
the
wonder
A-Rod
about
list.
Is, are we changing the way we broadcast games? Is this like the beginning of something new, the Manning cast? In other words, when you're watching a game on TV, I can already see what's happening. Like I'm smart enough to know. That's first down. That's not a first down. I can watch along with the game. I know.
Well, what's going on. As a bit in the 80s, NBC did a game without announcers. It was all Nat sound.
I just wonder if that's – well, no, I don't think all Nat sound. I like the idea of people goofing around during a game. I can see what's going on. If you're a knowledgeable sports fan, You know that's a touchdown. You know that's a first down. You know they ran the – I don't need analysis necessarily because I've watched a million games in my life. So why not watch just like for example, if I was Spectrum, I would do the regular broadcast with Billy Mack and Stu, and then I would take that baseball channel, and I would just take Robert Horry and James Worthy and Geeter and Allie, and I'd put them on that channel just talking through the game to give you an alternative version to the traditional play-by-play. What do you think of that?
Worthy would be great at it.
He'd be fantastic. He'd
be unbelievable at it. Yeah. I mean, and now that people have, like, alternate channels, sure, why not? Give it a try.
I can't find it.
I'm looking for it. Once I get back in studio, we won't have to worry about all that.
Okay.
Did you all watch Don't Look Up on Netflix?
Yeah, I did.
I haven't finished it yet. Lisa wasn't into it and made me bail out, but I actually thought it was okay.
Yeah, so I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. But at one point, they put up a phone number on the screen that was for people in the movie to call to get peace of mind with the apocalyptic asteroid flying
right
at them.
Okay.
Well, the phone number turned out to be real. And it led you to a phone sex hotline.
No way.
Really?
Yes. A phone sex hotline.
Honey, I swear I got it off the TV show. I wasn't just doing this
randomly.
It was
in the movie.
So do you think they knew what this was? Adam McKay knew that it was a phone sex hotline when he put it up and did the research first like you would think that they would? Or was it just a big old mistake?
I think Adam McKay is
really, really smart. If an asteroid was heading towards Earth and you were looking for comfort, the best comfort might be on a phone sex hotline.
Well, and so, it kind of goes with the theme of the movie. That the basic theme of the movie is, if the world was ending, would, in this culture we live in 2022, would we take it seriously, or would everybody ignore it and just get on with their and watch Real Housewives and Andy Cohen
and ignore it happening,
right? And so I think people would, if they found out the world was ending, call the phone sex hotline. I absolutely think this was intentional.
Yeah, I think it's a really good move. I think it raises really interesting issues, and I do think it's funny that even, I know we don't do politics on the show, but that even an asteroid heading towards Earth could somehow break in a political way and we would disagree about how to handle an asteroid that's about to destroy all of us. I think the movie's really clever from that perspective. And I always think, what would you do if there was they basically got a 3-month warning, asteroid heading towards Earth. What do you do with your life?
Yeah, I'd go to the beach.
I'll tell you this, I'm not going to call a hotline. I'm going to call a real person.
Yeah, call a real person. I mean, it would be time to spend time with family or.
Yeah, I'd call that girl from 90 Day Fiancé, see what's going on with her.
send me a jar.
The one with the farts in the jar?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
Yesterday was Dirk Nowitzki's, jersey retirement day.
Yeah.
So, spotted on the sidelines, it was Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and our very own Clayton Kershaw. Does that mean that Kershaw's headed towards Texas? What do you guys think?
Not necessarily. He's from Dallas, grew up in Highland Park. But matter of fact, went to high school with Matthew Stafford. They were
they were
the battery on their high school baseball team. Kershaw was the pitcher and Stafford was the catcher. No, Mace, I think that if he's at home visiting his family and he wants to go attend Dirk Nowitzki's jersey retirement, that's a cool thing to do. I know one thing that people have been talking about was Lamb and Cooper, neither one of them were wearing masks.
Oh.
Which surprised me a little bit because it's, so many guys in the NFL are getting COVID.
Right.
And they have the playoffs coming up. That if one of those guys was to get put into protocol, they could miss the first round of the playoffs, which could be devastating. But I had no issue with Kershaw being there. How about you?
I have no issue with it. I think it's 50-50 whether he comes back. And I think, by the way, I think the Dodgers are probably 50-50 on bringing him back.
If he was priority, he would be back already. I mean, Chris Taylor's back already.
We have got, and hope to God that there's a some resolution in this work stoppage. Because
yeah, I sent you guys a story today that Jeff Passan wrote that posted to ESPN.com today. And Passan says there has been zero movement, his words, zero movement in negotiations in baseball.
Which is also why Clayton Kershaw is not back with the Dodgers if they are going to bring him back, because you can't do any of that stuff right now.
Right, but I'm saying they prioritized some other guys and got him in before the lockout.
Yeah.
Including Taylor.
But, I mean, their pitching rotation right now, with Scherzer gone, they really are super thin. I mean, they've gone into these seasons with really deep rotations. That's been an important strength of the Dodgers. And if you take a look now at their rotation, you know, we've got Buehler, Urias. They signed Andrew Heaney, who, you know, really wasn't great for the Angels and blew up in New York. Tony Gonsolin. Dustin May is not coming back till August. I guess you can throw Andre Jackson into that mix. Mitch White.
David Price.
Into that mix. David Price you can throw into that mix. But they do not have depth in their rotation. And Walker Buehler's an ace. Julio Urias is an ace. Heaney's a question mark. Gonsolin's a question mark. I mean, they are very thin in that spot. So I have to believe that the Dodgers are going to make a run at bringing back Kershaw, both for the significance of keeping a cornerstone of the franchise, ending his career with one team, but also because Kershaw pitched pretty well last year. He did get hurt, but he pitched pretty well last year. And he's better than Andrew Heaney, that's for sure. I mean, he'd be your number three starter if you got him right now.
All right, so the slowest athletic.
It is the slowest paced.
It's okay. Don't blame Jorge. I'm not in the studio. I'll get back there next week.
It's okay.
Be fine. The Athletic has been bought. The New York Times has bought The Athletic for a reported $550 million. Now, the funny part about all of this is back in 2017, when The Athletic started up, the co-founder, Alex Mather, said this: "We will wait every local paper out and let them continuously bleed until we are the last one standings. We will suck them dry of their best talent at every moment. We will make business extremely difficult for them." So what do you think of a newspaper buying The Athletic?
Well, number one, I'm glad it happened because I want The Athletic to survive for a couple of different reasons. One, we know a lot of people that work there now. And number two, I read it every day. I think that they've got a very good track record of you know, they basically assign one writer to one team and marry it to them, and the writers that they find are really good. And Mace, I don't know, every report I read about The Athletic's finances up until now was that it was struggling. So hopefully getting a new owner and getting a company with the resources of the New York Times will jumpstart that brand and keep The Athletic around for a while. I don't really care who bought them. I'm just glad somebody stepped up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad. I mean, $550 million, it must be doing pretty well if you're going to spend $550 million on a property like The Athletic. So, yeah, here's the thing. First of all, I thought that makes Alex Mather seem like kind of a jerk. We're going to gut every newspaper. We're going to destroy every local newspaper in
but
the world.
Maybe if they're sold, he's out. Like, you don't know if a guy like that is even still in the picture.
Hey, man, he got $550 million. He may not hang around. But I do think it'll be in good hands at the New York Times. And I'm sure that they will maintain, you know, they've got some of the best writers there are writing for The Athletic. And I'm sure it will remain a subscription service. It's annoying when you get a link and you realize you're not logged in as The Athletic or you haven't paid for the subscription to The Athletic. They do have really good writers. I think it makes it secure and then it's going to be around. I also think local papers, I hope local papers are still around. You know, I hope local papers don't go away. So many of them have gone away now. We still have the LA Times here in Los Angeles. We still have the LA Daily News. But the impact of local papers has diminished unbelievably. So I do hope local papers survive as well. But The Athletic, in good hands, and I think will continue to thrive. Got a wrap for commercials. Is that what you wrote?
Yep, sure.
Got a wrap for commercials.
Top of the hour. Got to be in the hour.
Top of the hour. Got to be in the hour. All right. Did you see the Dirk Nowitzki thing's interesting. Did you see what they did last night?
No.
Okay. I'll explain it to you next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.